Hello and welcome to this special edition of Time on the Mic. This is an Easter edition. You're here with GT. I'm GT and...
I'm Daniel.
I am a 63-year-old baby boomer and Daniel is...
A Gen Zer that is 16.
All right. So if you listen to any of our recent episodes, I told Daniel that my favorite movie of all time was Jesus Christ Superstar. So I had this idea last night, since that is my favorite movie and it is Easter, it'd be kind of cool to do a breakdown of this movie and kind of give our opinions of it and things about it. So Jesus Christ Superstar was a 1973 film directed by Norman Jewison, and the music was composed by Andrew Lloyd Webber, who you may recognize from such Broadway hits like Cats and Phantom of the Opera. The lyrics were written by Tim Rice, and they both collaborated on a few projects, so you may recognize those two names. Now, before we get into this, I want to state that this is not by any means any of us trying to push any religious agenda. I was raised a Christian, but I'm not a practicing Christian. If I was, I wouldn't be a very good one. But this is more about the movie and, you know, why I like it, things about it that I find very interesting. Some things I don't understand about it still to this day, but I saw this movie in 1973 when it hit the big screen with my best friend growing up. We watched it and liked it so much, we stayed and watched it again. That's back when you could do that without having to pay for the second time. So, all right. So let's get right into it then. So this is a rock opera, as I said, written by Andrew Lloyd Webber and Tim Rice. So this is the story of, the last 7 days of Jesus' life before he was crucified. So this was shot entirely in and around Israel, around the Holy Land. So that was kind of interesting in and of itself. The locations they picked were really cool visually. But the movie opens up with a overture of some of the major songs in the movie, and it shows all the actors arriving on a bus. And
which confused me, by the way.
Why?
I was real confused
about,
like, how they became their character. Like, they just got off the bus and they became their character.
Right. So they pull up on the bus and they all come out of the bus, and they're costumes and props are like strapped down to the top of the bus, and they're getting everything out. And what, I don't know if you noticed, but what was interesting is some of the modern, at least for that time, some of the modern props they used, they had like submachine guns.
Yeah, and there was guns in it, which was, that confused me when I was just looking, that there was modern things.
Right. And throughout the movie, if you watch it carefully, you'll see like some of the kids have plastic toys and but I think that was Norman Jewison's just his way of adding some modern things to it, just to make it interesting, I guess. I don't know. So anyway, they pull up, and as I said, they're unloading the bus, they're getting all the props, the costumes. And I believe the last person off the bus was Carl Anderson, who plays Judas. And so he kind of gets into character right away. So he kind of walks away from the crowd, and they're kind of forming this little circle, doing this little clap dance thing. And
they did that, I think, like three times.
Yeah, they did it throughout the movie. But he walks away, and you see him. He's in full costume. He's wearing a red, like a one-piece costume. And so the other actors have circled Ted Neely, who plays Jesus, and the music's still playing. And when they get to the part of the medley where they play the song Jesus Christ Superstar, he kind of stands up out of the crowd and they put his robe on. And then you see Carl Anderson as he's walking away, just kind of looking. And you can already kind of sense there's some type of tension there. So what'd you think of it so far? You were confused about the bus?
Yeah, I was just trying to get along with the ride, basically, trying to see where it goes.
Yeah. So the next scene we have is Judas, a real long camera shot of Judas sitting atop a mound in the desert. And he starts to sing the song, and his first words are, "My mind is clearer now." And he starts to express his concerns that the focus of their cause has focused more on Jesus, the man or the character, than what their mission is. And he starts to say that Jesus has begun to believe all the hype around him, and he's concerned that it's going to draw unwanted attention and it's going to cause him problems.
That was Judas's whole thing throughout the movie.
Yeah, this movie is more about Judas than it is Jesus. Yeah. I don't know if you caught that, but...
He talked about how Jesus was a human more than anything. He's a man.
Right. Yeah, because I think part of the lyrics are something like, "When we began, you were a man, and now there's talk of God." And
yeah.
And then Jesus is starting to believe that himself. So he does that. And then the next scene is Jesus and his followers are underground in a cave, and the disciples are singing the song "What's the Buzz?" They want to know what's going on, what his plans are for them, how they're going to go forward. And Jesus' reply is, "Why do you want to know?" He tells them if he would tell them that they wouldn't understand it, and they would understand it less than he does. And then we meet Yvonne Ellman, who plays Mary.
Which I don't like her, by the way.
You don't? Why?
No. I didn't like her acting's good, but I didn't like her voice.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm. What about it didn't you like?
Just, I don't know. It just struck me as dislikable.
Oh, okay.
So.
She was, we'll talk about it later, but one of the songs she does was one of the biggest hits from this movie as far as radio goes, yeah. So Mary attends to Jesus trying to cool him down by applying a wet cloth to his forehead. And he tells his disciples that she's basically giving him what he needs now more than they are. And Judas is watching from a distance, and he starts telling Jesus that it hurts their cause for him to be associated with Mary, who's basically a prostitute, I guess.
Yeah, I was like, I was confused what he was trying to slander her about.
Well, the biblical story is she is a prostitute.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
See, my thing is I don't know much.
But oh, okay.
I believe what I believe, but...
I mean, this story follows the Bible version pretty close. At least from what I know. So then Jesus gets kind of upset with Judas and says, "Who are you to judge her?" Basically telling him, if you're without sin, you can go ahead and throw stones, but if not, leave her alone. And then he proceeds to tell everybody in the group that none of you really care about me, which Jesus kind of played like a sad person. I mean,
yeah.
I guess.
Like victim, kind of.
Kind of, I guess.
But a leader at the same time.
I guess if you knew you were going to die, you'd probably be a little down too. So then we meet the high priests, Caiaphas and Annas, who are high up in the priesthood. And this is where where it gets like the set is actually... I mean, it's from old times.
The scenery is amazing.
Yeah, I mean, it's old times, but then they use some modern stuff. Like, there's a lot of scaffolding that they stand on, like metal and wood scaffolding. And, of course, the Roman guards are all carrying machine guns.
Yeah, the outfits, though, in particular.
Oh, yeah.
It's a great outfit design, whoever did it.
Yeah, so what they're wearing, basically, is... like a black robe, black pants. None of them are wearing shirts, but they wear black capes. And then their helmets look giant. I think I read an article one time where somebody called them like ant heads because they look like ant bodies because the helmets are so big and round. Yeah. But yeah. So Caiaphas, who is the head priest or the high priest, is concerned that Jesus is popularity will leave them without power. He's afraid he's going to lose his grip on the power over the people. And so Annas, who was basically like his assistant, convinces him to take his concerns to the council. So they plan that. And the next scene we see is Mary convincing Jesus that everything is all right. That's the name of the song she sings. And she starts to anoint him with ointment to relax him, which I guess that was the thing then. I'm not quite sure what that was all about. And then Judas is sitting there watching it, and he asked Mary why she wasted, I guess this ointment was fairly valuable, and he asked her why she wasted it on Jesus when they could have sold it to help the poor. And Jesus tells Judas that there'll always be poor people struggling, and he tries to explain to Judas to look at the good things you have. And then Jesus tells Judas, you'll be lost and sorry when I'm gone, and Judas basically looks completely stunned when he tells him that.
Yeah, basically, Judas was saying that why waste your time healing your head and feet when you can give it to the poor. So,
I mean, by today's standards, I guess Judas would be like the big liberal in the group, where he's like, you know, let's sell everything we got and give it away, give it to the poor. I mean, that's basically...
Well, in his head, in his mind, it's what Jesus should do.
Well, I think what it is that's how he sees the group's mission, and it may not coincide with what everybody else.
Yeah.
You know, it seems like, and I'm sure this is, you know, because the story focused on really those three characters, Jesus, Judas, and Mary. But I'm sure they wrote it that way, so to give some type of conflict, you know. Story's got to have conflict.
Yeah.
So then the next scene is Caiaphas and Annas addressing the council while Jesus is coming down the road with his group. If you're familiar with the biblical story, he makes his arrival in Jerusalem on the donkey. And the high priest basically decide the only way to stop Jesus is to kill him, which, damn, man, you guys don't play. So... as Jesus makes his entrance into Jerusalem, Caiaphas tells Jesus to quiet the crowd, and Jesus tells Caiaphas, even if he could, if the crowd were silent, the rocks and stones would start to sing, which basically means, you know, you can't stop us.
Yeah, I think he said something like, why waste your words? Mm-hmm. So
the next scene we see is Jesus encounters Simon and his followers. This was a... parts of this scene I thought were kind of strange.
What?
Where they're basically, Simon tries to convince Jesus to start an uprising against the Romans and seize power.
Yeah. They talked about Caesar a lot randomly as well.
Yeah.
Which I didn't know. Is that true of that time period?
Yeah, yeah.
I never knew that.
Yeah. He was like he was the ruler over all.
Yeah.
That. Yeah.
And they were like, well, if you want to be all-powerful, start a problem with the Romans.
Right.
So.
Yep. So, you know, Jesus is enjoying the accolades are thrown at him until Simon says, you know, we want you to start an uprising against the Romans and take control, you know, seize the power, which. So anyway, they get done doing their thing, and Jesus proceeds to tell Simon that, and everybody there that can listen, that can hear him, is that none of them really understand what power is and what glory is, and they're all just like, what? So, you know, they don't know what to think of that. They were expecting him to, you know, join and cause the uprising, and they were hoping that would solve a lot of their problems. So then we transition to Pontius Pilate, who is telling about a dream he had about he met a Galilean, which Jesus was a Galilean.
And what is that?
It was a city in nearby. I'm not sure if that's where he was born. I know it's a city. And in the dream, Pilate had to put this person to death and was held responsible for his death for the rest of his life. So he had kind of a premonition of what to come, I guess. So then Jesus decides to visit the temple. And before he arrives, in the movie, they kind of show what's going on there. And it's basically, it's turned into a marketplace where you can buy whatever you want. There's drugs, there's weapons, there's prostitutes, there's this, anything you want is there.
This is the big blow up scene.
Right. So Jesus arrives and he sees this and he immediately flips out.
Yeah.
And he starts overturning the tables and destroying all the stuff. And he says that his temple should be a house of prayer. You have turned it into a den of thieves. And he just proceeds to destroy more stuff and tells everybody to get out. And they're like, holy shit, this guy's going crazy. Let's get out of here.
Yeah.
So I read today, I did a little bit, because I was trying to find out something we'll talk about later. But apparently they could only, Ted Neely was so into that, they could only do two takes of that scene because he just basically destroyed everything. So, yeah, he was really into that. Yeah, and of course, Judas is nearby looking at this and shaking his head like, I can't believe you just did that. So, you know, because he's concerned that it's going to draw attention and, you know, going to cause problems for everybody. And so then we see Jesus on his own walking through parts of the desert. And he starts saying that his time is almost through. He has little left to do. And then he's surrounded by these people start coming out of the basically these holes in the side of the walls with these big like stone structures. And there's lepers, there's blind people, crippled people, poor people. And they all want him to...
All dress the same, by the way.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. But they all want him, they want him to touch them, to heal them or heal whatever was going on with them. And he starts to do that, but there's so many people, he's overwhelmed. And they basically just overtake him and he screams, leave me alone. And so the next thing you see, he returns to camp and it's nighttime and Mary's trying to, you know, get him calmed down and he goes to sleep. And this is the song. So she starts in a song. She starts to express her love for Jesus. She's basically fallen in love with him, I guess. And this is through the song, I Don't Know How to Love Him. But this song was a huge hit on the radio when this came out.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I would turn that off.
Really?
Yeah.
You just didn't care for her, huh?
No.
Is it because she's a woman?
No. Nope. But... who was your favorite singer in this?
Oh, Ted Neely, for sure.
Mine was Judas.
Yeah.
So
he was.
I enjoyed his voice.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I would love to see, though, how they, because this isn't the only movie I've thought this about. I think the way they did this one, I don't know if it's all musicals, but they recorded the soundtrack first.
The background music is amazing.
Yeah. So I think what they did was they recorded the soundtrack first, and in them scenes, they would play the music to the actor so they could act it out, but you don't hear that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So in editing, they removed that and put in the recorded music. But that'd be tough to do. I mean, because you have to get the lip syncing down just right. And
yeah.
But, yeah.
That's what artists do in like their music videos, though, now.
Right. Right.
Sometimes, but not always.
So here's the next scene is very interesting. And this is where it comes across old versus modern. And I really don't understand this. I never could understand this. But so you see Judas sitting in the desert. He's just like chilling out, I guess.
He's been doing that since literally the beginning, where he was chilling on a rock and then walked and then chilled on another rock.
Well, so the next thing you see is he's down like in a little valley, and up on the hill you see these five tanks. You see,
yeah, real confusing. All of a sudden, everything just goes. They're coming downhill.
Yeah, you see these like the turrets of the gun come across the. The next thing you know, there's full blown tanks coming right at him, and he's like, "What the fuck?" And he starts running. And I'm really not sure what that was supposed to represent, but I'm not. I don't know.
Probably a foreshadowing of him being in trouble, that what he's doing.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure that was planned, but they looked like they got awful close to him. Did you notice that?
Yeah.
Because he looked like he was genuinely...
Well, also, there was fighter jets.
Yeah.
That comes were late. Drying...
That comes later.
Yeah, that were low, like real, real low.
So all these weapons, like the tanks and the fighter jets, which we'll touch on later, I believe those were all from the Israeli army, the real Israeli army. So they Israel played a part in helping getting this film done. So anyway, Judas takes off running, and he runs to Caiaphas. And he basically tells Caiaphas that he's ready to turn Jesus over to them because he thinks, well, I guess he does say he didn't come here on his own accord. He's not really sure why he's doing it, but he's doing it anyway. And I believe this is where he says, Jesus wouldn't mind that I was here with you.
Yeah, I remember that.
Which, you know, I don't know, but... So anyway... he tells them he's ready to turn him in, and they tell him, okay, so we need you to tell us when we can find him, where he's alone, no crowds around him. And so he basically tells them that on Thursday night, he'll be in the Garden of Gethsemane with his disciples, and they proceed to try to pay him with a bag of 30 pieces of silver.
30 schmeckles.
And he doesn't want it at first. Because he says, I don't want your blood money, until they hit his nerve where he says, well, think what you can do with all that money.
And then they're like, well, it's not blood money. And
yeah,
like,
it's a fee.
That's okay.
And as soon as he hears, well, you know, look at all the people you could help with this money, he basically takes it and off they go. So, so the next part, I believe, is the best part of the film, where they're in the Garden of Gethsemane. Basically, it's the Last Supper. I don't know if you're familiar with that. You've seen the painting, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, it's Jesus and the 12 disciples gather in the garden to do the Last Supper. And he proceeds to basically tell them that he doesn't think they're going to remember him after he's gone. And he pours a glass of wine. And he basically, I don't know if this would be the first communion, but because in communion, what they do is that's what they do. So they give you a thing of wine to drink and a piece of bread.
Yeah, he talked about, like, this is blood, this is my body.
Yeah, the wine represents his blood and the bread represents his body. So each of the disciples take a drink and a piece of bread. And he proceeds to tell them that, I know none of you are going to remember me after I'm dead. And then he proceeds to tell them that one of them will deny him and one will betray him. And they start flipping out. Like, yeah. What the hell? What?
What do you mean?
I don't know if you noticed this, but you've seen the painting, the Da Vinci painting of The Last Supper, right?
Yeah.
So when they start that, before he starts the communion part, they actually all form that scene. I don't know if you knew that, but they all struck the poses.
Really?
Yeah. That was kind of weird, but it was kind of cool, though. So he reveals that Peter is the person that will deny him three times.
He was that was the funniest part. He was, no, I never would I do that.
Now, we'll get to this at the end, but that's the guy I told you who went on to a career in porn.
Really? He was like, no, never, never, never.
Yeah. And then he says, one of you will betray me. He doesn't reveal who it is, but then him and Judas kind of have a little confrontation, and then he reveals that it's Judas that's going to betray him. And so Jesus basically tells Judas, you know, go and meet whoever you're supposed to meet to bring him back to arrest me. And so Judas wanders off a little bit, and this is kind of, I mean, it all happened so quick. So he takes off, and then the disciples are like, oh my God, I'm ready to go to bed. They're like, let's go to sleep. So they all kind of curl up and get ready for bed. And Jesus goes to confront Judas, offer him a coat, you know, because I guess it's chilly out. So when he goes to...
In the desert.
Yeah. Well, it gets cold at night. And so they proceed to have a confrontation where Judas calls him a sad, pathetic man and tries to justify the reasons that he's betraying him. And Jesus is having none of it. He just tells them to get out. He goes, they're waiting, go. And so he runs away. So then Jesus goes back to where the disciples are, and by now they're all asleep.
Yeah.
And he's like, hey, you know, somebody wake up and hang out with me. But so nobody will. So this is my favorite part of the film. So then Jesus decides, okay, he's going to confront God and try to have God convince him why he should go through with this plan where they're going to kill him. And he's asking, basically, is there another way we can do this? I'm not sure I want to do this. And he asks, basically, for a sign, which he does not get. So then he proceeds to accept his fate, I guess. But the singing in this scene by Ted Neely is incredible. That guy's voice.
I think this is where I realize that, because you were talking about how good of a singer he was, I think this is where I realized that he could actually sing.
Yeah.
Because throughout it, he was like, he's decent, and right. Then he finally like pulls it through.
Right.
So,
yeah, this is my favorite part of the movie. So the next thing you see is Judas. Jesus is facing forward. Judas comes up behind him and kisses him on the cheek. And in the biblical story, the reason they did that was the high priest told him, Judas, to, even though they knew who Jesus was, they said point out to the soldiers who to arrest by kissing him on the cheek. So that's why they did that. That's the way the biblical story was, because there was more people there than Jesus.
Yeah.
So so he gets arrested. And the disciples try to, you know, fight the soldiers for about 2 seconds. And Jesus tells them, hey, you know, it's over. Just accept it. And so they take Jesus away. And as they're marching him back to wherever they're taking him, there's a crowd of people that appears. And these are people that before were for him, and now they've seemed to turn against him, you know?
Yeah. Is this the scene where they're running down the steps, or no?
No.
Oh.
No, not yet. So the soldiers take him to go see Caiaphas. Caiaphas confronts Jesus and asks him outright, are you the Son of God? And Jesus tells him, those are your words, not mine.
Yeah, he kept on repeating that a lot.
Yeah. And he's right. I mean, well, you know, in all the biblical stories, he never once said that. I mean, people were saying it, but he never said it himself. So Caiaphas sends him to go see Pilate for sentencing. And so then we see Peter, Mary, and another, I don't know if he's a disciple or just a hanger on. They approach this camp where they get something, they wash their hands, get something to drink. And then one of the people in the camp confronts Peter and says, hey, I recognize you. You're that guy that was with that guy that just got arrested. And he's like, no, man.
Yeah, he was like,
that is me.
What am I doing here?
So he proceeds to deny that he knows Jesus or was with him 3 times, just like Jesus said he would. And the thing
I think Mary pointed that out, or whoever was there, he was like, Jesus saw this was coming, doing what you did just now.
Right. But what I found kind of confusing in the scene was after Peter denies him 3 times, that Mary says, it's just like he said.
Yeah.
I wonder how he knew. And she's like, wow, maybe he really is God. I mean, it seemed like earlier she had already accepted that.
Yeah.
But now she seems like, holy, this guy's like a...
Well, at the end, well, like you said, they all turned on him.
Well, not the crowds did, not the disciples. And Peter explains to Mary that he had to deny him, otherwise these people would come after them, which is a chicken shit way of, you know...
getting out of things.
I got porn to make. Oh,
He had nice hair.
Yeah?
If it was real.
All right, so Jesus appears before Pilate. Pilate is surprised. He's never met Jesus, and he's surprised that he calls him a sad little man, and he doesn't look like a king. And I think Pilate basically doesn't want to deal with it because of the dream that he had. So he sends him off to King Herod.
Which this guy's hilarious.
This was one scene where I was just like, what in the hell?
Yeah, what's going on?
I mean, it was just so out there. So King Herod is this fat little guy sitting on a, he was on a dock of a lake or something.
Yeah.
And he's surrounded by his hangers-on or whatever they were. I mean, anything from guys dressed like women to... They all have, like, face paint, and it was just
a lot of makeup in this.
And the music was, like, it was, like, ragtime music, you know, like piano. And
yeah.
It was probably the strangest scene in the movie, I thought. But basically, Herod tells him, hey, you know, if you can perform a miracle and show me that you can do all this shit, I'll let you go. And
yeah, if you can show me that you're more of a man than I am.
Right, because he tells him, you know, turn my water into wine, walk across my swimming pool. And Jesus is like, no, I don't think
I'm good.
So Herod gets pissed and starts throwing shit at him and tells him to get out. So they take him, off they take him. And so the next scene has Peter and Mary. Basically, I guess, they didn't expect it to turn out this way, the way it's going. So, and Jesus is off in the distance, and they're asking him, can we start over? Can we start again? And Jesus never really says anything, but you can tell by his gestures, he's like, nope, this is the way it is. You know, we're going to play this out. So,
at this point, he's really just doing, do whatever you got to do.
Yeah, I mean,
let's just get through this.
Yeah, I mean, he's accepted his fate. He knows what's going to happen, so let's just get it over with. So then the Romans, the soldiers throw Jesus into a cave, and Judas is nearby, looks in, and he's like shocked at his condition, which he didn't really look any different, but, you know, So then Judas goes to confront Caiaphas about how they're treating Jesus and expresses his regret over what he's done. And he takes the 30 pieces of silver and throws them back at him. And he just keeps saying, I'm going to be blamed for this forever. You know, his blood's going to be on my hands forever, basically. And then I thought this was interesting because he opened up in the first thing he said was, my mind is clearer now. Now he says, my mind is in darkness. So he then basically has this internal argument with God about how God has used him as a puppet, basically.
They do say puppet.
Yeah. And Judas is just, he just doesn't know how to handle this. So he
kind of goes mad.
Yeah, well, yeah, because... And I thought what was interesting, too, was it seemed like he was more interested in how it was going to affect his legacy than what he really did.
Yeah, at this point, yeah.
So he freaks out and finds this tree in the middle of the desert, the only tree, and basically commits suicide by hanging himself.
Which, is this true?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Well, according to the biblical story, yeah. I'm not sure if he hung himself, but he did commit suicide. But before, while he's wrapping the rope around the tree, and he's telling God, you have murdered me.
Yeah.
And, you know, and he proceeds to hang himself. And then, the camera pans down where you see Judas hanging from the tree, but it's not that far away. You see Jesus in front of Pilate once again.
By the way, at this moment, I was like, well, now I don't get to hear my favorite part, the favorite voice that I liked the whole time.
Well, that's not true.
Yeah, I know. I was like, well, that's a surprise.
Yeah. Which I want to ask you about that. So Jesus is once again before Pilate, and Pilate's like, oh, here you are again. He goes, well, you know, what's going on? And So Caiaphas tells him that they have no law to put a man to death. They need him to sentence him to death by crucifixion. He doesn't want to do it. So the crowd of people around there
just go mad.
Yeah, crazy. They start yelling, you know, crucify him, crucify him. And these are the same people that in the beginning of the film were like, hey, this guy's cool. You know, it's like, wow, you know, isn't that true? Even today, you get stuff like that. Pilate proceeds to tell the crowd how they're a bunch of hypocrites and they claim their allegiance to Caesar. And he's like, you hate us more than him. But, you know, it's like mob mentality.
Yeah.
You know, and they just keep saying, crucify him, crucify him. So Pilate refuses to do it. So he thinks, okay, well, I'll satisfy the crowd by having him flogged, which is whipped.
Yeah.
And that, this is what I was looking for today. I seem to recall. So anyway.
It looked like it was actually happening.
Well, I think some of it was, but he got, so this is called the 39 lashes.
Which is this, why 39?
I don't know. But anyway, this guy who's this Roman, who played the Roman soldier, I mean, this guy ain't playing. I mean, he's winding up. And
I mean, it looks full on contact.
He's hitting as hard as he can. And it's a leather whip and it's thick. He couldn't have hit him 30. He hit him a few times, I think.
Definitely.
I seem to remember reading years ago where he actually, Ted Neely allowed them to actually whip him, but there's no way he took 39. I mean, he would have been fucked up. I mean, his back would have been like just open.
When it pans to his back, it looks like it was barely touched.
Yeah, it's like some scratches.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Some blood.
But he is Jesus.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So anyway, so he gets the 39 lashes, which is 39 whips of a leather whip. As hard as, I mean, this guy is not playing. But the crowd isn't satisfied. They still say they want him crucified. So the crowd starts saying to Pilate, if you don't crucify him, we're going to Caesar, and complaining. And in the biblical story, there's something about where if Pilate didn't do something correctly, or he could be deported to somewhere he didn't want to go.
Yeah.
And so they start saying, we'll go to Caesar. You'll be deported. You'll be demoted. And he's like, holy shit, you know.
You're right.
I don't want that. And so after they whip Jesus, Pilate kind of picks Jesus up because he's laying on the ground. And, you know, he says, I forget what he says to him, but.
I think
you could
like
be
more,
dead soon. You got to be careful. And
I must. It's basically I'm sorry.
Yeah. He's like, I don't want to do this, but
I don't want to get deported. So.
And Jesus tells him, you know, you don't have any real power. The power you have comes from God, basically, is what he's saying. And so Pilate basically just lets go of him and hits the ground. Hits the ground on his back. And he's just like, oh, God, I just got whipped 39 times, bro. Come on. So then Pilate looks down at his hands and his hands are covered in blood.
Yeah.
And so after the crowd says, you know, we're going to go to Caesar and you'll be demoted, you'll be deported. He's just like, well.
He really changes his mood real quick.
Yeah. So somebody's standing there with a bowl of water. He washes his hands, washes the blood off all his hands. And he says, all right.
Bye.
You know, so, okay, crucify him. So this is the part I never could understand. So the next thing you see Jesus in his robe, because they ripped the back of it before they whipped him so they could get bare skin, and all of a sudden his robe turns into this regal white thing.
Yeah.
And here comes Judas.
He holds out his hands and
here comes Judas floating down off this crane thing, and they start singing.
I think the crane thing was a cross. I think I could be wrong, but
I don't remember. But this is where they sing the Jesus Christ Superstar song.
This is my favorite song in this.
Tell me what you thought that whole scene was about.
Basically, Judas saying that.
But Judas is dead.
Yeah, but basically him coming out and saying that, you know, he didn't mean to what it came to, but he's sorry and he believes in him. That's what.
Well, they keep saying the words to the song are, "Jesus Christ Superstar, what have you sacrificed? Do you think you're what they say you are?" And they don't really show. I can't figure out where this is supposed to have taken place. So is it hell? Is it heaven? Is it?
Maybe it could be in Jesus's mind.
I don't know. I still to this day cannot figure out what that was supposed to be about. But it's a good scene. The song is great, but it just seems so out of place. You know, it doesn't fit.
Yeah, I think either it was because of the DVD or whatever, but it was music and then it stopped for like 3 seconds. Then all of a sudden just background music starts and it goes to pitch black and there's Jesus in a robe. And then he gets craned down and
Yeah. But I guess what confused me was, where is this supposed? Because Judas is dead. So in my mind, it's either got to be heaven, hell, or somewhere in between.
Yeah.
But they never really explain. And Jesus is
there. Well, they don't really explain anything throughout this whole thing.
Well, Jesus is there for a brief time.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I still don't get it.
I think it's more of a looking back on things for Judas.
Yeah, I guess. So as the song is winding down, it cuts to show Jesus and the soldiers basically going through the desert, and Jesus has the cross on his shoulder. He's dragging the cross through the desert up to where they're going to crucify him. So the song, Jesus Christ Superstar, ends. They start nailing Jesus to the cross. And
was there crucifixions before this?
Yeah.
There was?
Yeah.
Like, how? I don't understand what the point of it is. Just to leave him out there?
Basically, yeah. They nail him to the cross and they just let him bleed out.
A common thing?
I don't know how common it was, but it happened.
I never knew that.
Yeah. Well, hopefully they don't bring it back, because that'd be a hell of a way to go. But you hear him hammering them nails in his hands, and it's like, oh, my God. Actually, did you know the band Nine Inch Nails? That's where they got that name.
Really?
Yeah, because the nails supposedly were 9 inches long.
Huh.
Yeah.
What did they... So when they nailed him in, the last thing they nailed in, they had a ladder. Like, I think it was a metal ladder or whatever.
No,
but
it was wood.
It was, but they nailed in a plank of something.
Yeah, it says INRI, INRI, which I don't know what language it is, but it means King of the Jews.
So that's why they did. Was he crowned beforehand or after?
Well, it was basically they were mocking him.
It was a mocking?
Because what they did, which they didn't show this part, but if you notice when he's on the cross, he's got the crown of thorns.
Yeah.
That's his crown, the crown of thorns, which was just, it's all total, they're totally making fun of him, you know, because he's supposed to be King of the Jews. And, you know, they're like, oh, Mr. King, look at you now, hanging on the cross with the crown of thorns, and now you're going to die. So Jesus eventually, you know, succumbs and dies, and the music just ends.
Yeah.
And then they start playing some soft music as the crowd basically walks away, and you see Jesus, and he's actually, there's actually two other people that they crucified at the same time.
Yeah.
They were, if I remember right.
They didn't show that, by the way. They just showed it at, like, when they panned away, they showed them.
Yeah. But if my memory serves, I remember the name of one of them. I think it was Barabbas, but I could be wrong.
What did they have to do
they
to
were
have
thieves.
That happen?
They got caught.
Oh, that
thieves.
Is right.
Yeah. So soft music plays, they walk away, and the next thing you see is the actors getting back into the bus.
So confusing.
Well, I mean, the movie's over. Time to go home.
Yeah. And Jesus is alive and Judas is.
Well, actually, no. So.
I don't know about Jesus was there, but I know Judas was the last person on the bus.
The last two people you see board the bus was Mary and then Judas, Carl Anderson. And they're all looking up at the hill where the cross is.
Yeah.
And the bus leaves, but you never see Ted Neely, the guy that played Jesus. You never see him get back on the bus.
And when Judas gets on the bus, it's kind of like he was still looking and getting on.
He's like, whoa. Yeah, I noticed that. So then they pan to the cross on the hill, and that was only one cross.
Yeah.
But I don't know if you noticed this, but if you look really carefully, you can see a guy walking.
Yeah, yeah, I did see the little like brighter shadow.
Yeah, he's like a silhouette.
Yeah,
and he's got flock of sheep.
Flock of sheep. I didn't see that, but yeah. I saw the person.
So, a lot of people think that was Norman Jewison's way of saying that was Jesus tending to his flock. You know, because you have to kind of look to see it.
Yeah.
But then it fades to black and the movie's over.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So give me your overall thoughts on this film.
So I think it's a film that you have to watch at least 2 to 3 times to fully understand, or at least closely understand what the overall picture is, because it's a musical. So it's not like fully acting, it's singing.
Right.
So you got to at least listen to it twice or three
times.
Well,
it's technically it's called a rock opera.
Yeah.
So anyway, sorry, go ahead.
But overall, some of it's very confusing. Like, I was very confused throughout seeing modernized things. And I was like, well, is it back to when they were on the bus or are they in character? I thought it was because I didn't know if it was the real background or if it was on stage. That's why I was thinking throughout this, because you said it was a Broadway act, right?
This wasn't, no. It started out that way.
Yeah, so I'm wondering how they do this on Broadway.
Well, funny you should ask me that, because I actually, not on Broadway, but I saw it performed live.
Yeah.
They just do sets. I mean,
they do?
Yeah, I mean, as best they can. I mean, they can't bring in, like, mounds of dirt and shit.
Because it was very interactive with the setting around
right,
them.
Right, right.
Like, the rocks itself.
And all that was real, by the way. I mean, those...
Yeah.
You know, like... Those ruins, like where the pillars and stuff were.
Yeah.
You know, that was all there. They didn't bring that. That was there.
I'm wondering, did they get like very special permission or is this just...
Yeah, from what I could gather, they made a deal with Israel trying to promote Israel as a place to make movies. So Israel basically said, hey, you know, if you'll promote our country as a place to make films...
So that's why the military was a part of it?
I think so, yeah. Yeah. But yeah, that was... Oh, I forgot to mention the fighter jet. So
yeah.
When Judas decides to give up Jesus and they give him the 30 pieces of silver, that's when you see two fighter jets just buzz Judas. I mean, like
yeah.
Really low. They were flying low and fast.
Yeah, the wings are very like straight, but they're skinny. And mm-hmm. Then it has that little point up.
Yep.
And the cockpit's very small.
Yeah. So, what other thoughts do you have?
I don't know. It was confusing to see guns. The thing that I disliked about it was the fact that, you know, they don't really necessarily introduce who they are. It's kind of like you should know, but in the singing you can kind of infer who they are. But there's very little talking to know who these people are.
Yeah.
So if you know it, you know it. But if you don't, you don't.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the only thing that I disliked about it.
Yeah, well, I think back then in 73, they made the assumption that most people knew the biblical
yeah.
story. Because back then, most people had some exposure to Christianity.
Yeah.
It's, you know, either... in the church or stories or whatever. But, so like I said, this was it still is my favorite film of all time. And I really can't tell you why. There's just something about it that I just really like. I mean, I love Ted Neely's singing. Visually it's a great, I mean, something great to look at. There are some parts that, like you said, are real confusing, and who knows? I mean, it was the 70s.
I mean, it's an artistic style look into things.
They were probably high.
I think it was funny that the guy's last name has Jew in it.
Yeah.
I thought that's why he
made
this. Well,
I'm glad you brought that up. I wasn't going to bring that up.
But
yeah, it is ironic.
Yeah.
So anyway, I dug this out today. I'll have you take a look at it. But I actually, one of my bucket list things was to see Ted Neely perform this, and I actually got the chance. And I'm showing Daniel right now a booklet I got at the show. So
the Beatles were also advertised at this theater.
Yeah. So the dates on this, I don't remember. I'd have to get out my ticket stub if I still have it. But the dates on the flyer say April 30th to May 2nd, 2009. So I had to drive a couple hours to see this, but it was worth it.
Wait, so which name was the guy who became?
He was born Philip Charles Tubas. Yeah.
Oh, here's Reddit. That Paul Thomas, the porn star, played Peter in Jesus Superstar. Oh.
Superstar?
Wow. No. I was just reading multiple things at once. This is 13 years ago, by the way, on Reddit. It says, hey, it was the 70s. It's all right. And Paul Thomas is not an effective porn star name. I like Peter Christ much better.
And oh, God.
The top comment is, that's ironic that his name was Peter.
Yeah, I thought that too. I wasn't going to go there.
So,
but he's listed in the credit as Paul. I thought it was Tobias, but I guess it's his real name, T-O-U-B-U-S, however you say that.
He's from Illinois.
Hey.
Shout out to Winnetka. yeah, wherever that is, but.
Yeah. So anyway, I got to see Ted Neely perform this live in 2009, and it was awesome. So here's something you may not know. Did you know your mom once played in a play of this at her church?
Really?
Yeah.
So I used to go to a church, but I mean,
this was before you were even born.
Yeah, but I used to go to a church, and I mean, I would just listen. There's nothing else I really did.
What church did you go to? I didn't know this.
The one in my town.
Really?
Yeah, I would randomly go to it. And also there's...
Did anybody know you were there?
Yeah. I went with my friends.
Yeah?
Like, my close friends, the Fieldings.
Yeah.
And I would go there. They would give out stuff. And also...
When was this?
When I was little. Also, there was like an after-school program in, I want to say, grade school. That
oh,
it's
I
called
think
Jam.
I think I remember.
Yeah,
that.
Jam. And they would like teach you some things, and also...
What did JAM stand for?
Something. This is... Jam Jesus in Me is the first thing that comes up. but it stood for something, I know that.
Yeah. So, you didn't know that about your mom?
No.
You should ask her about that. I went to see it one night with your dad. When I think they were still in high school.
Jesus Alive Ministries.
Uh-huh.
It's a worldwide thing, I think.
Really?
Because I watched a YouTube video and they referenced it in England. So something different.
So anyway, to wrap this up, we didn't want to go too long here, although we're at almost an hour. If you haven't seen this film, I highly encourage you to watch it. I mean, it's visually, it's something to look at. It's very, very good visually. The music, it's 70s style music, but it's good music. The performances are great. Well directed, well put together. It follows the biblical story fairly close. So I highly encourage anybody that hasn't seen it, or if you have seen it and want to watch it again. I know it's on, if you have Peacock, you can watch it on Peacock. That's how I watched it today.
Yeah.
Since you had my DVD.
Yeah. I played it out on my PS5.
Yeah.
I had to search that up. I was like, am I going to ruin this or...
What do you mean?
My PlayStation, because...
Oh, because it wasn't a Blu-ray?
Yeah. And I searched it up and it was like, yeah, it has the same reading system as the PS3 and PS4. I was like, okay.
Yeah. You just can't play. You just can't back.
Because some of them... Yeah, I was confused because you can't do PS3 games. But
so you were going to call me and say, you ruined my fucking PS5, asshole, to watch this movie.
Also, I don't know if this is for everything, but it was in a little square, not a
wide. Yeah, it wasn't widescreen.
Okay, yeah.
I think that had to do with how it was filmed. Because back then, they didn't have, like, the technology they have now.
Yeah.
So, all right, any closing comments? So, on a scale of 1 to 5, you'd give it a 5 being the best.
I'd go on a scale of 10 and put in an 8.
Yeah?
I can't do that at a 5.
Why?
I don't know. It's kind of...
What's the difference?
Well, I guess you could give it a 4 out of 5, but I'd give it an 8 out of 10.
So we're going on a scale of 1 to 10?
On this one, yeah.
Okay. I give it a 20. I really liked this movie.
I think they had an interesting choice of the... When they... Because they did a lot of wind. I don't know if that was natural.
It was.
It was? But there was a lot of wind that was in the right moments.
Because when I was doing some research on this to get some, you know, I was attempting to get the facts correct, so I didn't give out bullshit information. But yeah, they said they didn't use any wind machines. It was all natural.
Wow.
So yeah. Yeah, there was a lot of wind, a lot of sand, I guess it was, well, of course it's the desert, but I guess it was brutally hot.
Warm clothes.
Well, yeah. Can you imagine dancing around like that? I mean, it's like, holy crap, man. And I guess nobody had any, like, there was no heat issues, like, health-wise or...
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
No, what's that? Wizard of Oz moments where they use asbestos for snow and the lead paint to... Yeah. Did you not know these things?
Well, I know... Oh, we're going into Wizard of Oz now. I know that the original actor who was supposed to play the Tin Man had a reaction to the silver paint.
Yeah, because it was lead paint.
Is that why?
Yeah. Oh, okay. They also used lead paint on the witch. Everybody basically got sick from this, besides the dog. So there was also, I think it was geese or something that was just on the set and they couldn't get rid of. So randomly, there's just geese there.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, we should do a review of Wizard of Oz. We should do it. Have you heard about where they... God, we're really getting off on a...
There's a lot of crazy, weird things about Wizard of Oz.
Have you ever done the... where you watched Wizard of Oz while you played Dark Side of the Moon?
No.
By Pink Floyd? You ever heard of that?
No.
I tried it once, and like stuff in the album like syncs up with the film.
Really?
It actually does. It's weird in some spots, but that's for another day. All right, any closing comments?
Not no more.
All right. So I don't know about Daniel, but I would love to know what you guys think of this film, if you've seen it or decide to watch it and decide to give your feedback. Time on the mic is the email, mic@gmail.com.
Time on the mic on everything besides Facebook currently, at least.
It's, and that is?
Time on the mic, space Daniel.
Okay. Anybody... We've got like, I think last I looked, which was yesterday, we got like 35 downloads.
Yeah.
I mean, it's increasing, so that's a good sign. I don't know who's watching it. Nobody's following us or leaving comments, so it makes me wonder who's doing that. But anyway, in closing, however you decide to celebrate Easter, whether you're a Christian or you just like to celebrate the bunny leaving eggs and presents... Or you do nothing at all. We wish you a happy Easter.
Yeah.
Yeah. What are you doing?
I was told I'm getting nothing this year. Oh, so
you're too old.
No, no bunny visit for me.
You're too old for that shit.
I can't get a Reese's Pieces.
A what?
I can't get one Reese's.
Reese's? You mean Reese's?
It's said two different ways.
Okay, I'll bring you one tomorrow.
Yeah.
How's that?
I appreciate it.
Okay. You want
one of those egg-shaped ones?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because it's Easter.
This is the
Easter special.
All right. So thanks for listening to us, indulging my wanting to review this film so everybody could get a chance to see it and comment on it. So I'm GT.
I'm Daniel.
This time on the mic is over.